I'm reading from Genesis chapter 18, Genesis 18, 1 through 7, 1 through 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham at the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting in the entrance of his tent during the heat of the day. He looked up and he saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the entrance of the tent to meet them and bowed to the ground. Then he said, "My Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, please do not go past your servant. Let a little water be brought that you may wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. I will bring a bit of bread so that you may strengthen yourselves, and this is why you have passed your servant's way. Later you can continue on." "Yes," they replied, "do as you have said." And so Abraham hurried into the tent and said to Sarah, "Quick, knead three measures of fine flour and make bread." Meanwhile, Abraham ran to the herd and got a tender, choice calf. He gave it to a young man who hurried to prepare it.
Good evening, everybody. So at our last men's meeting, I was so inspired by a few of the devotional words that Alan mentioned. He mentioned the word choice as a thought piece for our devotion. And I looked up at him and I said, okay, we're leaving out of here. And I said, hey, I may or may not want to do the lesson. And he just kind of laughed at me and he said, just let me know what you got. So I just went ahead and rolled with it. So thanks, Alan, again, for letting me do this. Tonight, we're going to talk about Abraham, the one that's called the father of faith. And I believe this reason is simple. When God spoke, Abraham obeyed, even before he understood what God was telling him to do. We're going to walk through this brief story. First, I was thinking in my head, should I talk about Terah the father? And I'm like, wait a minute, no, that might be too much for the little kids. But I actually did make a little handout, so I'm planning to copy it later, and I'll share it with the kids so they can kind of remember some of the things we talk about tonight. But from the call that he received in Haran, to honest questions he brought to God, to humility that he showed when the Lord and his two strangers showed up at his tent, I want to help us see that by the end, what this all can mean for us today. When Abraham was 75 years old, he was settled in Haran with his father, Terah, his nephew, Lot, and his wife, Sarai. He had a pretty good life there. And then in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, God spoke to him. "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land I will show you." Notice God didn't tell him where he was going. He just said, "Go, and I'll show you when you get there." He even made a promise after that. He said, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." Abraham left, and the text says, did he cry? Did he crumble under the weight of thinking about, oh, I got to pack my bags, or I have to get all our cattle, or I have to get all our servants together? No, he just said, "Hey, we're going." And he did just as the Lord had spoken. No argument, no delay. He just obeyed. And when we think about obedience and faith, that's what faith looks like. We don't wait until we get everything ready. We get up and go. We move because we trust in the Bible. We trust in God's word. And that's number one, obedience before even understanding. Number two, honest faith. When we have honest faith, real questions can be asked. You turn me to Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. We'll read, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. well, sorry, it says Abram. Later in the line of Abraham, he ends up becoming, when Abraham was born, he was born as Abram. Then over time, God gives him a new name, naming him Abraham. We'll talk about that next time. But after these things, the Lord, word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus." And Abraham said, "Behold to me, you have given no seed. See, one born in my house and is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir." And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward the heavens and tell the stars if you are able to number them. Tell the stars if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall be your seed." Abraham looked up at the star. The Lord told Abraham to look up at the stars and count them. And that will be your seed. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it for him for righteousness. In that vision, God told Abraham, "Do not be afraid. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." And he asked honestly, "What will you give me, seeing I go childless?" Abraham had been promised descendants, but he had no child, except for his servant. But rather than pretend everything kind of made sense, kind of like when you talk to that person, "Hey, how did it go?" They just stare at you with the deer in the headlights look. "What are you talking about?" Abraham didn't pretend. He just said exactly what was troubling him. God didn't rebuke him for asking. Instead, he just said, "Hey, let's look toward the heavens. If you can count these stars, that's the number of children, descendants that you'll have." Faith asks honest questions. And the faith that asks honest questions is not weak. It's just real faith. And Abraham's questions didn't push God away. It just led to a deeper realization. Number three, we see Abraham having humility in action. From the passage that was read today, Abraham is sitting at the tent door. Then he looks up and he sees three men standing there. One of them he recognizes as the Lord. Abraham then runs to meet them and bows himself to the ground. This matters because Abraham was a wealthy man with many servants who could have just greeted the visitors instead. But instead, he went himself. In the New Testament, we have some examples of what humility looks like. If we turn to James 4:10, we read, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Abraham had these attitudes. Instead of serving for himself, he went to serve for others. Hebrews 13:2 is another good passage. I'm going to start at verse 1. "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." The connotation here for angels doesn't mean, a lot of people tend to think that it means, well, everyone's an angel. No, but we don't know who we're entertaining or who we're spending our time with, so why not treat someone with the best of your opportunity? This is the same thing that Abraham did. And then in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5. Hold on. Yeah. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. This is the example of Christ's humility as well. "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took on him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Why God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Although Abraham wasn't Jesus Christ, he also shared the same example of humility, not thinking of himself, bowing his body to the ground when he was met by the Lord and his two visitors. He even says, let a little water be brought that I may wash your feet. Rest, and I'll bring you a morsel of bread. Morsel being, I'll give you something, and anything. He's belittling exactly what he was going to do next. But look at what he actually did. He turned to Sarah and told her, quickly, prep these measures and meals. And then he ran to his herd and worked with his servant to choose a fine, tender calf, the best that he had. Like I said earlier, he called it a small thing, but yet he served a feast. That's what true humility looks like. It doesn't call attention to ourselves. It just gives the best without needing anyone to notice. Verse 7 tells us he hastened to prepare it. There was no delay, no reluctance. Abraham, despite having his wealth and standing, personally served these strangers. I'm going to read a few more passages from John 13, 4 and 5 and Galatians 6, 10. He rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. This is after Christ washes the feet of his disciples. After that, he pours water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And then Galatians 6:10. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially of them who are of the household of faith. However much we have, however far we have come, we've got Abraham as an example, Christ as an example, that we can look to be humble and treat people, others, with humility. Abraham's example is the same for us. Humility serves quickly, and it serves well, and we don't ask for recognition. Lastly, our response is required. Again, God chose Abraham. Abraham did not earn that calling. God just reached out to him. The same God is still calling people today, not through a voice in the clouds, not through thundering, not through speaking to someone directly, but he does seek us through his word. He asks us to have still humility, not pride, in what we've done and have gratitude for what he has done for us. Some might think that I've never heard God's voice. God's never spoken to me directly like that, so how should I know the way God spoke to Abraham? And that's true. He doesn't call us today, but we have his word that tells us that God spoke to him. It doesn't matter how. It just matters that he did it for the sake of good. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul teaches us that God called us by the gospel, by its word itself. And faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. So the call doesn't come from heaven. The call doesn't come from what's in our minds. It comes through preaching God's word and reading the scripture. The response God asks for is the same as it was with Abraham. Trust and obedience before every detail can be worked out. Abraham heard God's voice and just left everything before he even knew what he was supposed to do or knew or had full understanding. We hear the gospel and we respond in faith, repentance, and confession of Christ and baptism. Just a different means, but we still hear the call to obey from his word. Those who remain a part of God's people are the ones who are choosing to keep humility, not just the day we were saved, but every single day after. God is seeking all of us through his word, not through miraculous signs, not through our own good works, not through merit, not through our feelings. But again, I know I've kind of repeated, said this a few times already, through his word itself. He's seeking all of us. Did Abraham have a map? Do we have a map? We have God's word. Abraham didn't have a map, but he did have a promise. Abraham had God who calls and a God who keeps his word. We don't have to understand everything. We just have to simply obey. Abraham didn't understand everything. He just got up and left and did what God asked. God met him along the way. Someone tonight might be hearing the call, not to new land, but to God's word and the cross of Christ. The same God who told Abraham, "I will bless you and you will be a blessing," says tonight, "Come, believe in my son, repent of your sins, confess Christ as the Son of God, be baptized in the forgiveness of your sins, arise and walk in a new life," just as Abraham arose and walked and obeyed God toward a land that he had never seen before, and trusting a God he only heard once and a few more times after that. I'm going to end up by reading 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. You know what? I'm going to start from the beginning of the chapter. "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead in a quiet and peaceable life in all good and all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." The invitation tonight is not extended by bloodlines, not by race, not by the clothes you wear or the attitude that you have about yourself. The beautiful thing about true salvation and obeying God is that we can all access it. And it's not through works of merit either. It's available to everyone. Truly free and truly fair to hear the call. At this time, let us stand and sing the invitational song.